Diamond for diamond, no one compares with Mervis. At Mervis Diamond Importers, our natural diamonds come straight from the mines in Africa, and our mermaid lab-grown diamonds beat all others for quality and value. Come view our brilliant diamonds, both natural and lab-grown. Mervis diamonds are so bright and full of fire, they will blow you away. So will the affordable prices. Our diamonds may steal your heart, but not your wallet. See our mermaid lab-grown diamonds and learn how to get a larger diamond for less. You can get a bigger mermaid lab-grown diamonds than you ever thought possible. And with Mervis financing, you can enjoy up to 5 years to pay with zero interest. Our generous full-value trader policy and our lifetime warranty program easily make Mervis your first choice. When you mount a world-class Mervis diamond into a designer ring from our huge collection, there is no equal. Mervis Diamond Importers. For an appointment, call 800-HER-LOVE or go to mervisdiamond.com. Again, that's 800-HER-LOVE or go to mervisdiamond.com.
Hello and welcome to Film Companion. You've tuned in to an exciting new interview podcast with Anupama Chopra. To catch more of what we do, visit us on www.filmcompanion.in.
This is the only film where, you know, Fahad didn't ask for a retake for the
first shoot.
Yeah, normally he does that. I mean, this is the only
You know why? That shot was 20 minutes. I can never ask for a retake. I want to do the boy next door, and I want to do a Dilwale Dulhania and all that. You know, this is what I get. You know.
Mahesh, Fahad, so lovely to have both of you back on Film Companion. Congratulations on Malik. It is stunning in its scale, in its ambition, in the way this story unravels with such a cast of characters over many generations, over many decades. I have so many questions. And God, Fahad, you're so good.
As always.
Right.
You know, Mahesh, I want to start by asking you, what is the origin story of this film? Because I read that, of course, it is fiction, but it's also inspired by real life. It's based on things you've seen near the area where you grew up. And this was actually the first film you wanted to make with Fahad, but the budget made it impossible. So what is this story? Where did it come from?
See, basically, I live near to a coastal town called Kovalam. So I've got friends from those terrains. So I've been witnessing lots of issues which the regular people face during those times and all. From my ninth standard to my degree, college days and all. So I've been constantly interacting with these people. So I know a certain amount of people. In terms of border, how do you differentiate border? We only consider about land border. We share a border between India and Pakistan and India and China, something like that. But there is also a sea border, which we have to consider. So that we are not considering always. So when I started traveling from Trivandrum to when I went to study in film school in Chennai, and then I started to going with friends to coastal areas there itself. And then I felt that, the locality and everything differs, but the texture of people, the ethnicity from where they come from, the ideologies, what they preach, everything is very similar. So there is a common thing among them. So it's a little bit of communal. I'm sure about it. But the problem is, how they are getting displaced, how a genocide happens at that area, how people start moving, exodus and all. So these are the topics which I need to discuss. I need to portray through a film. I was not sure about how to write it and how to put it all on paper and all. But at one stage, I realized that there is a possibility in exploring through certain events which actually. Some of the Keralites could relate to, and even most of the Indian people can also relate. So that's why I took a fictional land. I didn't mention any of the places where I saw these things, and also I took up a fictional land and fiction people, just to create a kind of aura between and chemistry between people and all. So when I bounced this idea. In the initial days with Fahad, so it was only set in a shorter time period. It was not this much broad and all. So, you know, but I think the initial idea also had a kind of purity or virginity when you say. But then, you know, then with time's flow, you know, it constantly keep on developing within us. And lots of other incidents also start coming in. So, end of the day, when we started discussing about this film right after Trans. So, I think, you know, a lot of other incidents also came into me so that, you know, the writing was, you know, very much, I was very much prepared for writing this thing because all these incidents were still haunting and with me. And if you take all my films, everything will be based out of certain things which actually hook my, you know, heart and then, you know, something which has to be told. So I take this notion where, you know, where whether this story has to be told unless and until I won't say that story. That's my thing.
And Mahesh, you of course spoke about it as a sort of Shakespearean template because there is, you know, romance and there's betrayal and there's revenge and there's violence. And after Joji, we know that Fahad fits very well into Shakespearean templates. but this character of Suleiman is in a sense more complex because, you know, the character arc is so vast and your physical transformation and your aging as we watch. Did this challenge you in new ways as an actor?
See, if you look at, I've never played anything above my age level. And I've very consciously made effort to do that because it's very uncomfortable for me to, I need to see myself somewhere when I, you know, see a playback and, you know, I mean, I don't want anything to be forced into me. I always thought about this and I kept avoiding films that had a different age group to play and things like that. So after Trans, I wanted to do something that I've not done before. Like, you know, I wanted to unlearn and learn something new. So that was the time Mahesh had come. So it's always the right time, you know, I hear the calling bell, you know. I heard the story and I was, you know, more than the character, I was excited about the story. And I thought the film had a very foreign narrative and, you know, it's very new and people have not explored that in Kerala. I mean, not even in not in the recent past. So I was excited about the idea of making that film. And it's at a later point, it struck me that, okay, I have to play an old age now. So what's the deal now? Yeah. So the notion was that, you know, you have to gain weight, you have to grow your stomach and, you know, you have to. So I was sure that I don't want to do that. So I didn't say yes to the project, but I knew that I was, even Mahesh and I knew that we were going to do this. But how to crack it was we kept deciding on my look. And that's when my mother sent me my granddad's, a photograph of my granddad. So he was a very built man. And, you know, during his late 60s or, you know, old age, he sort of, he became very lean and, you know, he became a smaller person than how he was earlier. That was very exciting for me, you know, someone, you know, to look smaller and more powerful, you know, that you know, I got excited about that aspect of it. Yeah. So then I shared the image with Mahesh and then Mahesh actually spoke to Ranjit, who was the makeup artist. Then it was all, so I told him we'll shoot the old age first. The intention was if it isn't working, we can leave the film there, you know. There's no point going ahead. So we shot that.
Did you know this, Mahesh? Did you know this was his intention?
But you should remember that this is the only film where, you know, Fahad didn't ask for a retake for the first
shoot. Yeah,
normally does that. I mean, this is the only
you know why that shot was 20 minutes. I can never ask for a retake. That shot is 20 minutes.
So you're talking about the opening sequence.
Yeah. I'm opening sequence. That was my first day of work. Yeah.
No, but you know, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, so I'm not going to give any details of the film, but you know, there's a specific moment which really for me said so much more than what was happening on screen, because you're telling your version of the story to your best friend's son, and at one point you just tap his leg. Mm. Okay, and just so heartbreaking because it felt like that encapsulated everything that had gone wrong and that was so tragic. Tell me, how do moments like that happen? Do you plan it? Does it just come when you're doing it?
I remember talking to Mahesh about it, you know, while I was doing that. So that was like, so the first few takes, I didn't do that. That gesture was not there. So Mahesh kept telling me there's something missing. So we kept doing it, and so suddenly I felt like consoling him. I thought he was really sorry about this entire thing, and I felt like consoling him, and I felt like touching him. I was touching my son actually. So I felt like touching him, and that really worked. I thought. Mahesh was also very excited about it. So I think, see, the fact is that Mahesh was saying there's something missing. So I knew that you had to come up with something more defining and clear for the relations to work. So like I said, it's a collaboration. If Mahesh was not there, that wouldn't have happened. So
it's magical. It's wonderful. Okay, let's get to that opening sequence. So okay. 13 minutes, 20 seconds?
13 minutes, yeah, correct. Right? Close to 14 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it's close to 14 minutes, which of course is remarkable in its craft and the dexterity and the way this sort of the camera moves and all of that. But I think what made it so much more interesting is that it actually sets up the whole world, right? It gives us, you immerse us instantly into this man's world, into the role that religion plays in his life, into his relationship, into his position in this world. It was amazing for all of those reasons. Now the long shot has almost become like mine is longer than yours, right? But this wasn't doing that. So tell me about setting up that shot and what were the specific challenges of this incredible thing?
So in the initial draft, it was not there. That establishment scene of that feast happening in that house was not there. So the film started with that airport sequence. So the problem what happened is that, after the first draft, then I keep constantly thinking about something is missing. Like as Fahad said, something is missing. The real establishment, whether the establishment happened. So I didn't want to establish everything, in the typical manner so that, some kind of an energy has to come. So I took an example how Capullo used to establish things, how he used to establish an entire thing through a whole marriage and all, so ceremony. So then we had a ceremony like that, very similar to that. We have a feast which normally people give when they're going to the pilgrimage trip to Mecca and all. So that point, when I thought about it, it was all coming because because when you watch the film, there is also an intention. There is a clear intention because, afterwards, Sulaiman is stuck in a chamber. So it's only in that particular scene you're seeing, witnessing Sulaiman in a free flow movement. Look, he's traveling. He can move around. His house is actually, has got lots of entry points, lots of big windows. So that kind of free flow nature has to be created in the beginning. So that's a complete contrast between the next few portions. I don't want to bring in more spoilers again, but still, again, if you look at it, that character's arc is set like that. Yeah. So, finding a place like that was the difficult part. The writing was not that much difficult. The finding an exact location like that. We tried for several places. Then finally, we arrived on a house. And then we need good operators to handle that. So Sanu was very much, Sanu, the initial idea, Sanu got it very, very well, and Sanu said, "Okay, we can do it." When we went to the location, we found out that a camera and an operator can't move through these stairs and all. It's very difficult. So how to execute it? So then we thought about we have to stitch it. We have to stitch it properly. So why? So we didn't have any VFX supervisor on location at all. So we ourselves tried a method. We created a method, and we still didn't know whether this method will succeed. And normally when you look at all these single take shots, sometimes it will be an action sequence. Sometimes it will be following one particular character alone. And this is nothing like that. This is like we are following one person, then moving into another person. Then all of a sudden the other guy comes from another. So there are certain minute details which also have to be established. So in that manner, what we actually did is that we gave timings, 1, 2, 3, like that, like how the motion control camera works. So, so everything was timed, so that count was actually pre-recorded and it was like a playback. It was like a playback exercise.
So you had that playing while they acted.
Yeah, while they were acting, we actually played a count. So in that manner, even the junior artist will know that, I can start moving in the 40th number. So whenever the assistant directors constantly push them, no, my number has not come. My number is 40. I know. It's more like that. So they are also, immersed into this process.
Amazing. And Fahad, did you have a moment of panic at this idea of a almost 14-minute shot? Like, did you say that, and that too for your first days, which are famously never, yeah, so, always redone?
So what happened was that so we were doing the last leg of trance, like small patchworks and things like that, like small shots, and then so that's when Mahesh had called and he said, you know, I've reworked the entire thing, I'll give you a narration. So he came to where I was shooting trance, and so he was basically narrating between my shots. So after, you know, like I would come in between my shots, take the narration, go. So you know, I was doing that for like 3-4 times, and fifth time he completed a sequence and he said, okay, this is one shot. I said, what? Yeah, whatever you've heard so far is like one single shot. So I never questioned him. I know he's capable. So I said, okay, then next. So I just saw it like that. If it's one single shot, okay, it's one single shot. You know, let's plan it like that. Then we rehearsed for like 2 days. A day. I think the entire crew rehearsed for 2 days, and I rehearsed for 1 day. It was so much fun. It was like everyone, doing a scene together. Everybody in that house is in frame. You know, so that was very magical.
That and how crazy, many days? Yeah. Eventually, how many?
We know what?
Did it in?
Seven days.
Yeah. More something. Yeah.
Wow. Now tell me, you know, dealing with religion in India is always a very tricky thing, right? You're always walking on eggshells. So what was the internal compass for both of you really to decide what to show, how much to say, how much leeway can we take with this?
See, regarding this thing, like I've been raised a lot of questions regarding religion for my previous films also. So coming to Malik, the thing is that when we are addressing that society, like, you know, religion is an important part for them. Like, you know, there are two communities, like, you know, take it the Marikar community, which is actually the Muslim community, and then the Aryan community, which is actually the Christian community. So they properly, if you look at all those people there, they don't have any kind of bank accounts at all. They keep all their monies in their houses and all. So and they don't keep savings and all. So that's why when this when the floods and all happened, they were so helpful. You know, they reached out with their boats and all, with some call outs from their parish halls and all. Like, you know, one preacher from the mosque will say that you have to go there, and one Christian pastor will say that you have to go there. So they only address to them. They also believe that, you know, the whole the social culture works on a kind of religious beliefs. So I can't. So even if I'm going to portray people from that community, I can't leave religion. I can tell a story without religion. But I personally, what I did was, like, you know, I never got biased to any particular zone. I just basically want to tell perspectives from all the sides. That's why you would see multiple narratives in the film, because you know there are no black or white characters here in the film. They are all gray. You know, there are circumstances, because, you know, first of all, you see how from one side of the story, from coming from one particular side, then from the other side, then from the state side. So these all sides should be, you know, reached out in the same proportion to the audience, so that, you know, ultimately nobody is winning. Who is winning, actually? Nobody is winning. And ultimately, you know, the voice will be heard from somebody else. And I'm pretty sure that Sulaiman is not a person. It's a collective voice. Sulaiman is basically a collective. It's not a singular voice. And, you know, it's constantly happening. I'm not going into deep politics, but whatever it's happening in Lakshadweep, it's very similar. Like, if you look at it, like, you know, it's very similar on similar. So that in that way, it's day on daily basis, it's happening. So that's a thing. Yeah.
You know, Fahad, in the first interview he had done, you had talked about how you hold on to single phrases to build characters. And when it was Bangalore days, Anjali Menon said that your character is a noble warrior. And that was your, like, one note for that character. Was there a note like that for Sulaiman?
See, like I said, Sulaiman is not one individual. You know, actually, he represents, an ideology of a lot of things. So, you know, it was, for me, the 30 years lifespan of a character, I think there's so much detailing that, you know, it was not about one single, detailing. I wanted to hear so much about it. Like, I kept asking Mahesh about, you know, was religion important for this guy? You know, why would he tell Rosalind that I would want my kids to be? So I don't want to spoil the film for you. So yeah. there were discussions like, you know, is religion important for Suleiman? So Mahesh, you know, he tried to give me the narrative and, you know, his side of it. So as a performer, you know, as a storyteller, what I see is, I see it as a layer for storytelling. If people see it, well and good, you know, but it's not done in such a way that, okay, there's only religion. So there's so many things to discuss. I think, you know, the idea is to give people the freedom to actually pick up what they want to discuss. And I assume Malik is a kind of film that you can, you know, it'll have repeated viewing. And every time you see it, I'm sure you'll discover one new thing that you didn't discover in your previous viewing. So for this kind of layering, I think all these detailing is important. Religion is important. The political scenario is important. Love is important. Hatred is important. So Malik is, you know, it's packed like that. The narrative is actually packed like that. So yeah. I think it was important to have all these layers.
You know, it's very novelistic in that sense.
Yeah.
It's just got so many layers. Tell me, you know, Mahesh, Malik also sort of reminded me of some of the best movies about characters like this, you know, Nayakan or A Hint of Diwar or the cross-cutting, of course, from The Godfather. Were these films references for both of you?
Certainly, because all the films, like, you know, I'm a huge fan of Godfather. So, see, most of the films you mentioned are actually written on base of Godfather, if you look at it. And then at one stage, you know, these days I'm like, you know, while growing up, I've been a huge follower of Kaustubh Rao's. So his films are really, because, you know, the way he explains social issues, you know, in his films, are sometimes it's very direct, you know. Sometimes, you know, certain things have to be pitched in a direct manner so that, you know, it should be hard and hitting for you. So nowadays I am trying to more focus more on that, like something which have, because now the biggest thing what we require right now is resistance. That's what we are lacking right now. So this is my kind of resistance, you know, to say something. Yeah.
You know, you're an incredible multitasker. In Malik, you've written, directed, edited, done second unit camera. For Malian Kunju, which is also starring Fahad, you've written, and you're the DOP. Fahad, is there anything he doesn't do?
See, I am waiting for him to actually start acting, you know. Okay. So, no, I mean, see, it's, for me, you know, imagine my excitement to see a friend grow like that, you know. So, I am really excited, you know. So, when he came and shot me, told me that, he told me Malayang Gunjani knows my dad's going to produce it. And he said, so I said, who's shooting it? I'm shooting it. So, I never questioned. Okay, cool, yeah. And then, you know, so, yeah, it is very exciting, you know. You know, I keep telling people, you know, so many people taking chances with me, you know. So I think it's just that trust, you know, that, you know, we'll compensate for each other.
Yeah. The last time, Mahesh, I interviewed Fahad for Joji and I said, do you know you're a pan-India star? And he said, no. So Fahad, has more realization come now or still not?
No, absolutely no.
You know, Mahesh, you also edited two of my favorite films of the year, Nayata and Arkadiyam. Does editing the vision of other directors help you to be a better director?
Definitely. Because as of now, like, you know, I've almost been collaborated with almost like 40 to 50 directors. So every director has given me certain kind of hints and inspiration and thoughts to, you know, even the way they, even some from classical directors to, you know, first timers, where, you know, where something new which we can pick it up from them. Those are the things which I always cherish. That's why I don't leave this craft, because I want to constantly keep on doing it. Because, yeah, you know, that's where the learning actually happens.
Yeah. Fahad, tell me about your fascination for morally ambiguous characters. You know, Suleiman.
It's what's given to me. I want to do the, you know, the boy next door, and I want to do a Dilwale Dulhania and all that, you know. This is what I get, you know.
They just think of you as the psycho in the movie.
Yeah. So they,
or Joji.
Yeah. So can you imagine, you know, Shyam is telling me like 3 days before for shooting Shami that I don't think anyone else can do justice. You just do it, man. You don't need a makeup or anything. Just come and do it, you know. So yeah, so that's what I get, you know.
No one's casting you as the sort of chocolate boy romantic hero.
No, I've not heard anything, you know, lately. Not anything close to that, you know.
And can you tell us anything about the villain in Pushpa or not yet?
Not yet. I'm going to start shooting for it, so I thought I'll finish it. It's very exciting, actually. Yeah.
But again, you don't speak Telugu, I'm assuming, right?
He asked me to speak any language. He told me, so no, I said I'll speak Telugu only. Yeah, but, you know, we've been working on it and all that. Yeah.
Okay, last question I have to end with something that really fascinated me, Fahd, is you wrote this long note on Facebook when it was announced that Malik was coming on a streaming platform. Yeah. And then you sort of dovetailed into sort of your personal life, which of course you very, very rarely talk about. You talked about your shoot of Bangalore days and when you fell in love with Nazria. And you said that you asked her out with a letter and a ring. So you asked her for a first date and marriage together?
No, we've been talking for a long time. I asked her, you know, Bangalore days was short. You know, we finished a schedule in Cochin, then we went to Bangalore, then we came back to Cochin. So it was a long time. So we kept talking. And I was very sure about her. And, you know, like I said, I was shooting like 2-3 different films at a time. And it was like fluctuating. And she was like, just, you know, she just started her career. And so it was that fluctuation where, you know, is it the right time to do the right thing? You know, is it the right time to do the right thing? And then I just gathered, you know, courage to just go and sit in front of her and speak to her. And so why I wrote about it in the letter is that, so I have, you know, constantly I've gone through that fluctuation in my personal life, my career, or, you know, anything. And eventually it's all work magic. So what I intended to say was Malik going to OTT or Malik having a different sort of a, you know, release doesn't actually affect the film. The film is going to be the same regardless of where it is watched. It's just, you know, just the time, and we'll move on. And I'm looking forward, and I'm looking at my next theatrical. And so it's just a phase. I just wanted to. I didn't have anyone to talk to because during this lockdown, everyone sort of got busy. You know, Amal is one friend I keep talking to, Mahesh. So Amal just had a baby, so he had his hands full. Then I said, I just want to write. Let everyone hear about it. So I just want to talk about what's happening. And I was going through a very long break after my accident and all that. So I just wanted to talk. So.
Well, you said that you might have scars from the accident, but I can't, at least on Zoom, I don't see any.
Okay. There is one, yeah. There's a Mercedes emblem
really?
There. Yeah, it's there. But yeah. But I live, don't worry.
You better. There are many, many more stories to tell. Thank you so much. And again, congratulations. It's a wonderful film and I hope it travels far.
Thank you so much.
If you liked what you just tuned into, then subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Stitcher and Radio Public. You can now also follow Film Companion on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube.